Eric Robeson is the creative director of Crazy Shirts. It's a job he's been at for 13 years. Before that, he worked for the Walt Disney Company as an Imagineer and an artist. You may recall his 100 Mickey's exhibit celebrating Walt Disney's 100th birthday back in 2001. In his spare time, he's been working on a film called The Hollow Moon. He called it a labor of love. The story is about a young island boy who wants to cheer up the moon after it has stopped moving. Robeson's youngest sons, Charlie and Alexander Thor, were stand-ins during the animation, and his oldest son, Tanner, co-wrote the screenplay and composed the ethereal score. Our producer, Jason Ubai, saw the film on Robeson's iPhone earlier this year. It has since been screened at several film festivals and has won Best Experimental Film at the Florence Film Awards and the Vegas Movie Awards. He followed up with the filmmaker.
All of my life, I've been interested in film and animation and predominantly the art of it. And back going back to fifth grade, looking at Charlie Brown's Halloween specials and stuff like that, just looking at the backgrounds and studying the watercolor skies, et cetera. For me, as a little kid, it was a dream to grow up and to be the guy that did those watercolor backgrounds. Took about 40 years to get to that point because I was doing other kind of design work. So when you say labor of love, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's just because I really wanted to do it forever.
Can you explain for our listeners what the film's about? And the look is certainly very interesting. A lot of watercolors and still animation. So, explain a little bit about the plot of the film and walk us through sure. If you haven't seen it.
Yeah. This film is interesting on a couple levels, but most predominantly it's experimental. It's art experimental. And what I wanted to do was, because the world is so technological now, everything's so digital, so polished, I wanted to go the opposite direction and really almost make it look homemade. Because the human eye these days is very spoiled. And everyone's got cell phone with HD and their televisions. And so for myself personally, I'm not gonna say I'm tired of it, but there's nothing that's breaking away from that. So I just decided to go backwards. So what I did was I shot still shots of my sons, and then I silhouetted those pictures, and then I painted like 400 paintings, and then somehow I wanted to embed them into those paintings. So it's a hybrid between a human character, actor, and art. For art's sake, you know, I don't want to look like a real sky. I want to look like a painted sky. So I have oil paintings, watercolor, gouache, pastel, even graphite and charcoal. I mean, it's quite a bit of things thrown into the mixer. The plot, here's what happened, Jason, is I created a lot of cool imagery, and I was just stoked to have all these, wow, these are great images. What am I going to do with this stuff, right? And so I had to make a story. So what I did was I looked at the images, and the story came from looking at the images, which is the opposite of what normal creations, like films especially, are like, and songs too. I mean, music or words first, what's first, right? In this case, I had a studio filled with paintings, and I had to create a story, so I did create one, and I actually wrote a book first before I finished the film. So the story is about a young island boy, and the people of the island are worried because the moon has stopped moving. And it's depressed, the moon. It has emotions, it has feelings. They don't know what to do about it, and they do ceremonies, etc., because they need the moon to move the tides, to fish, to eat, etc., right? And they worship the moon. So they're all pretty sad. But the young boy has an idea of how to save the moon and how to make it move again. And the next 19 minutes, you get to see him learn his own lessons while he moves to his goal, which is to excite the moon. And he learns a few lessons, and then the lessons he learns, he teaches the moon, and the moon is healed. So it's a pretty simple plot. But again, my goal was to show you the visuals, and I needed an excuse to show you.
Yeah. And how long did you work on this film?
Dude, it was 8 years of my life. And the reason it's 8 years, I get asked that a lot, is because I have a full-time job. You know, and so I was doing this on the weekends and evenings and vacation time and moments like that. It was a long time, but it flew by pretty fast because I have a really huge passion for it. And I just love color and paint, and there's a lot of cows in this thing. Why is there so many cows in it? I don't know the answer to some of these accidental images that came, you know. You know, when you're creating something, you kind of wait for the happy accidents. You don't always want it to be calculated like a math problem. You want some surprises to come along and go, wow, I don't know why I did that, but I like it, and I'll keep it. And this is full of those things. So
your son, Tanner, he created the music for this. How did he choose the music for this film?
Yeah, it was really interesting dynamic because he was over in China, teaching English over in China. And I know he has musical skills. He has the chops for sound. And so I said, hey, would you be interested? And at one point, I just wanted him to do a piece of the film that was a dream sequence, like a little 19-second thing. And he sent me something back. I was like, holy cow, this is great. You want to do the whole film? And he said, I would love it, Dad. And so how we did it, Jason, was I would send him some clips, like a moment. There's different moments, like little chapters. There's a monster scene. There's a bird scene. There's a catching a fish scene, et cetera. I'd send him those kind of little chapters and said, put a soundtrack to this, put a soundtrack to this. And 2 weeks go by, and he'd have it. And it was really interesting. All he did was see the visuals. I gave him no ideas of what I wanted to hear. And that may be a father-son thing. It may just be a connection. He felt it. He knows my style or what I was thinking by looking at what I did. Or the colors influenced him. But it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool because it's not something I would expect, you know.
The release of the film currently in the film festival's circuit. Mm-hmm. What was the first film festival that this played at?
You know what? I'll tell you something interesting. All the places I wanted it to play didn't accept it. And all the places I never thought they'd even look at it, like Florence and Vegas, and all those guys did accept it. So in Los Angeles, I got rejected by one festival, and then the festival that was 3 weeks later accepted it, and I got an award for it. So it's very strange for me to, I've never done a film festival circuit before. So the first one it went to was in New Haven, Connecticut. And then it just won an award in Miami. It won in Vegas. But all these wins are experimental, the category of experimental, which makes me happy because that's kind of, I think, subconsciously what I did want to do, what I wanted to receive, you know, because my love of doing it was the experimental. And to tell you the truth, the biggest award I got was the knowledge. I learned so much doing this about everything. A lot harder than you guys think out there to make a film.
What are your key takeaways? What would you tell someone who wanted to say, I want to make a film? What would your advice be to them?
My first advice is, and don't think I'm a bad guy for saying this, but too much knowledge will actually hinder you, and it'll stiffen you up, and you got to stay loose. It's like a sport. You got to stay loose, and the less you know, the better you're probably going to do if you really love what you're doing. The thing that drove this for me all the way to the end was the love of art. I just love to paint, and I love to see paintings and see art. The animation is very rickety on purpose. Like I said, it's experimental. But I would give advice to young filmmakers to really dig deep in your gut, grab your eye. I mean, half of this was done on iPhone, you know, shooting the pictures and stuff. And anybody can make a film now. The landscape in entertainment is for everybody. There's no moral limits, right down to 11-year-olds, you know. So go for it is probably the best advice. Don't feel all uptight about education or learning too much. I'm just so glad I did it, and it's done, of course. But, you know, a lot of people go through their whole life thinking, God, I always wanted to do this, blah, blah, whatever it is. I never did it. And I didn't want to be one of those guys. So,
anything else you wanted to say about the film?
I did want to say one thing, that this was completely influenced by Hawaiian nature. And if you look carefully at the film or freeze frame it, you'll see Makapu'u, you'll see Hanalei Bay, you'll see the Aiea Loop. And what was fun for me is living here, I was so lucky because this whole film is about nature and all the visuals are landscape. It's not inside, you know. So like I would go for an Aiea Loop hike, right? I take pictures of all those beautiful twisted trees. I don't know if you've seen those trunks. Beautiful, and the silhouettes of the leaves against the sky. Really great nature up there. And come back to the computer, superimpose my painting over that tree, and then try to animate it. So it's pretty cool hybrid of Hawaii nature, raw painting, traditional art painting, and a digital kind of aid, you know. So that was thrilling to be living here and actually using the nature here as a product.
That was Eric Robeson, who created a short animated film called The Hollow Moon. The film is currently in the film festival circuit. Robeson tells us that it should be available for streaming next year.